radio.org.au.
The Heart of Evangelization, Proclaiming the Gospel in a Digital World. A talk by Daniel Ang at the Catholic Digital Media Conference 2014, held in Sydney.
So thanks very much for having me here. I'm not a specialist in social media at all, but I'm very grateful for the work that communicators in our own diocese and elsewhere do. It's a very challenging job. What I hope to do today was two things. One, I wanted to try and develop a theology of social media. And part of the reason I wanted to do that was, and this might chime in with your experience in parishes and dioceses, tell me if it's true for you, that communicators are often not at the table when it comes to decision-making within the church. So we'll let other people let you know what's happening, and then communicators have to clean up the mess. We're going to amalgamate parish A and B. By the way, communications, could you help us sell that? So it's a very hard place to be. And I want to advocate for you in your roles, and hopefully how I can serve you, though not being a specialist, is by developing a theology, provide a common language which might help those who are making decisions to understand your values and what you're bringing to the church. Does that make sense? And you'll go on to refine this, I'm sure. You're the experts. So I'd like to start by echoing some of the thoughts at the conference so far in affirming that digital media is a rich and challenging way of participating in God's mission, and it's a frontier which can give new life to the church. As a vehicle for evangelization, digital media calls not simply on technical ability or know-how, but it actually asks of us a theological vision of the possibilities that God is bringing forth through that media. It's a rich time in which what is ancient and simple is mixing with what is new and strange. Just to set the scene, as people of the Incarnation and the Cross, we're bound to recognise that in social media there are going to be elements which can promote the gospel, and there are also going to be elements which impede a sense of human relationship, of human vocation and community. The Canadian philosopher Charles Taylor points out that in our cities in particular, where there are large numbers of people who are rubbing shoulders and large amounts of people who are unknown to each other, they have no direct dealings with each other, but yet they still affect each other in influence and thought and style, people can be caught between loneliness and communication. And I think it's fair to say that social media perfectly manifests that swing between individualism and association with others. For we can all be alone with our digital devices watching world events unfold, but we're conscious that we're doing that alone while millions of other people are doing so at the same time. And so today's people can hover between a sense of isolation and a very loose form of togetherness, vacillate between privacy and the spectacle of mutual display. That's what Facebook is, isn't it? It's about mutual display in this third area of life. In looking at what's going on in culture, the danger of that situation is that personal identity can be reduced to a matter of being seen rather than being known. In other words, the culture can encourage a focus on publicity rather than authenticity. The notion of human community can also suffer in the social media mix because community is emptied of its personalism and emptied of its intimacy, and it's reduced to the blips and squeaks of a lonely crowd. And I'd want to say that even in religious matters, digital media can also foster superficiality. You know, it's the fortune cookie wisdom that can fit in 140 characters, as well as the spiritual exhibitionism, even among the committed. You know, it's the virtual equivalent of wanting to watch ourselves at prayer. All of that is possible. But none of it is inevitable. While isolation and superficiality are risks of any human endeavour, we as a believing church bring a richness and a treasure to the myriad human desires, the experiences, and the quest for meaning that takes place online. And I think we can play a part in the humanization and the sanctification of digital culture. Pope Benedict, in his own reflections on new media, which you would have come across in your own work, writes this. He says, "We as believers encourage everyone to keep alive the eternal human questions which testify to our desire for transcendence and our longing for authentic forms of life truly worthy of being lived." And it's by keeping alive those eternal questions that people are asking online and engaging the concerns of the world in the light of faith that Catholic bloggers, Catholic commentators and websites and so on can bring real depth and significance to the digital continent. Just at the top of my head, just a few of the basic ways in which the church can communicate. It can simply place before the vast audiences that are online the sacred origin and the sacred destiny of all humanity. The church can speak of the intrinsic dignity of each person and to recognize and foster and promote the idea that our very existence is not simply a fact, but it's a calling to a vocation, and particularly to encounter the person of Jesus, who the church names as the perfect communicator. In the light of faith and in his example, Catholic media can advocate for the forgotten victims of history, many of them who are voiceless in our Western technological age. And I would like to think that the church can also be for the world online, even if at times it has to be for the world by standing against its deficiencies. In the light of faith, I think given that there are lonely crowds online and a real personal quest for meaning that often doesn't find a home, I think our online presence can witness to a real and embodied community of Christ where our worship and our values shape the way that we actually live. You know, it's one thing to preach about a commitment to the poor, but that preaching becomes all the more powerful if once a month we take a food parcel to the House of Welcome at Karama. If we are practicing a faith, then our online presence becomes so much more powerful and the connection between the real and the virtual becomes evident for others. And obviously, it may have been mentioned so far in this conference, but Catholic social teaching being a storehouse of wisdom about how do we respond to the inequality and the radical prejudice that that occurs in the world when it forgets how to be human. That is a gift that we can bring. Just talking out of personal experience, one challenge that I'd like to throw out there for yourselves as communicators is how do we respond to the disabled through our social media? The deaf, the blind, those who may depend on social media for an experience of the church, an experience of the gospel. So I just put that out there as an audience not to forget. So in all of those ways, I'd like to suggest that our presence online as church is significant because there online we can be a genuine locus of personal fulfillment for people seeking answers and connections and as well as interpersonal communion. Again, from Benedict, he also said that, you know, the church doesn't bring technical solutions. It doesn't have or the technological know-how for the answers for the problems afflicting the world. But what it does bring is a consciousness and a faith-filled realization of where we're going, of who we are and what our destiny is. And that is the gift of the church. And as communicators, it's by reading the world events, whether it's ISIS at the moment, whether it's Ukraine, it's by bringing the light of faith to those very human or inhuman situations as they might be, that Catholic communicators can make themselves be heard in the world. On our practical level, and this is probably just more an observation, I think that the development of technology can outstrip our ability to communicate. Is that a fair statement to make? That the technology can outpace our ability as church to communicate the gospel. at times. Social media gives us the opportunities to communicate, and opportunities that couldn't even been imagined even a decade ago. But there's nothing automatic about our ability as church to use it well. Like all other gifts, and including the Eucharist, we all, and we're in that together, trying to learn and reflect over time on how to put those gifts into practice in relationship with other people. That's the nub of social media. And in that respect, there aren't any experts. There's only better or lesser learners. How do we communicate effectively? It's no doubt been mentioned in the past days at this conference, but social media is indeed social. We all know that. It's not encyclopedic. And for those who work in dioceses or communities, I sense that our parishes and a lot of our dioceses still have a long way to go to actually engage the potential of social media, that we're still entrapped in a monologue of sorts, that we haven't yet used social media socially. And it's no doubt where we started when the Catechism and the documents of the Church were first placed online, when Catholic encyclopedias and patristic texts were first uploaded to the internet, when parishes first put their parish bulletins online. That's where we started. And that's valuable because people have access to, you know, liturgy, scripture, the church fathers in a way that previous generations simply didn't. So it is important to have information. We do have a faith. We do have that which the church believes. We do have a faith of content that needs to be communicated. But social media is reminding the church that, in fact, that faith and those creeds need to be received. In this respect, I think social media leaders such as yourselves will lead the rest of us embedded in structures of the church into a new form of evangelization. And I suppose what I mean by that is this, that you will teach the church how to communicate with its audiences. There's no point, for example, to take a parish. If we have a parish bulletin, a physical parish bulletin, and we put that online, is that genuinely using social media or media as an evangelization, a form of evangelization? To some extent, yes, but also no. If we take all the infrastructure of our church, our buildings, our adult education centers, and we simply transfer that online, it's no likely to be more any evangelization than our real-world practice, agreed? Unless we actually change the way we do those things. So in your practice as social media communities, in trying hard to learn how to communicate with people, you actually teach the rest of us how to dialogue and teach people well and be with people in communion and listen better. So I think social media will lead the rest of the infrastructure of the church into a better future. I think during previous pontificates, there was a very strong emphasis on proclamation, and that's simply recognizing that our faith has content and that we're called to communicate. But certainly under Pope Francis, I think we're reappreciating the role of dialogue, which was not always particularly valued, partly because of the effects of the Reformation and the Enlightenment. The church came to be seen in some sense as a counter-church, that it was against something. As in our personal lives, it's also true for the church. Turning away from sin is one thing, growing in holiness is another. So negating the elements of the world which are not producing or promoting human flourishing is important, but we also need to communicate and speak to human flourishing. And if our creed and our beliefs are going to take root in other people's lives, then we have to actually dialogue with them and have discourse with them. That's the only way a message comes to bear to a human heart, through empathy, through listening, through receiving as much as we give. In surveying our own capacity for the use of social media, it's very clear that in some sense our Twitter accounts, blogs and media can sometimes assume the religious literacy of their audiences and be prone to religious shorthand, or else address questions that are more important for insiders than outsiders. And I think it was mentioned by someone yesterday, read on a tweet, they talked about the danger of speaking to the choir that was mentioned yesterday. And there is that danger, isn't there, that we are speaking to the choir. But I remember an episode of West Wing where one of the political employees said to his politician, he had the politician get out there and speak to the choir, and the politician came back and said, "Why did you have me speaking to the choir?" And the advisor said, "Because that's how you make them sing." So we do need to speak to our own Catholics, and we're evangelizing each other. That's part of our work. But there is a danger that, if you like, if we become too self-referential, insular or rarefied, we can be left talking to ourselves. Conversation partners within a self-affirming Catholic culture while the wider culture moves on and doesn't quite hear what we might bring. So, and on a pastoral level, sacramental coordinators in particular are meeting families and parents who for the word for them the word sacrament is rather foreign, for whom the word mission evokes the images of faraway places rather than their own community, or for whom the implications of Eucharist and its connection to mission would be barely known. That's the pastoral reality that often parish ministers are facing. And so Pope Francis reminds us in his wisdom that we need to be realistic and not assume that our audience understands the full background of what we're saying, or is even capable of relating what we say to the heart of the gospel, which gives it meaning, beauty, and attractiveness. So again, if we confuse communication with a one-way communication of church doctrine and a multitude of Catholic facts, then just like it is happening in our pews, people are only going to hear fragments, and they're going to hear them from the outside. And that's the danger. So how can we be better present in the digital space? It strikes me that when the church has encountered new cultural terrain, when the church enters new territory or encounters unexpected social conditions, okay? Obviously, we would think of the missionary efforts in previous centuries. When a church enters into a new space which is unfamiliar to itself, one temptation for the church at that point is to create parallel infrastructure to secure Catholic identity in the public square. Okay? So, and that form of Catholic replication of existing cultural forms has been a well-tried strategy of the church in times past, but it has its limits in terms of evangelization. For example, the Catholic Church, when it was founded in Australia, worked hard to maintain a parallel school system to the state. It established Catholic youth groups as an alternative to other youth groups. It created Catholic debating societies, even Catholic tennis and bushwalking clubs. I know that sounds attractive, doesn't it? And all of that was aimed at the social and cultural reproduction of the church, because the church was in a new territory and it was trying to secure its identity in that space. Does that make sense? That's understandable. And if you like, you could travel through in the Catholic Church and never encounter others. And in Australian context, that meant Protestants, Anglicans. So the whole Catholic system was to take you right through your life from birth to death. You could be born in a Catholic hospital and die in one, and never, if you could desire so, encounter others. That was the reality. Even today, you can watch an exclusively Catholic television station all day if you wanted to do so. And I think just from the as an outsider, I would just suggest that a similar strategy online could be attempted, but I don't think that's the way to go. If the church seeks to replicate existing technology and media channels to create Catholic-branded platforms which serve much the same purpose as existing secular media, I think there are limitations. And I think that approach to create this whole entire Catholic infrastructure, which is parallel to what exists, in some sense, number one, it's incredibly expensive. You'll know that from your experience, it's expensive, which can probably explain some of the reticence around launching into great social media projects. But it also, I think, creating that parallel world misunderstands the theological basis of evangelization, which is to interact with the world and not to present self-enclosed alternatives to it. And I think to make that point, I'd like to quote Walter Ong, a Jesuit theologian, who reminds us of the essential role of the church in society as a leaven. He writes, "Yeast acts on dough, but the yeast does not convert all the dough into yeast, nor is it able to do so or meant to do so. Its primary effect is to interact, and that interaction results in ferment and growth for both yeast and dough." So like the yeast, as we are yeast in some sense, we don't have to sacrifice our own identity to dialogue with others, but it is a part of our identity to interact, not to remain isolated or take over the space of the world. And I think that Catholicity, that broadness of being in the world as Catholic, rather than seeing Catholic and world as being opposed, is well reflected in the practice of the retweet, where we're able to share wisdom that did not originate in ourselves, that there are other sources of wisdom connected to Christ, but that the church didn't necessarily generate on any given day. That's a Catholicity of dialogue. That's being a leaven in the world, being able to affirm what builds the common good while still having an identity and working against those forces of injustice, which are too common in 2014. In a similar vein, the theologian Joseph Komenchak writes, and this really secures social media in the world rather than parallel to it, "To enter the church is not to leave the world, but to be in the world differently so that the world itself is different because there are individuals and communities living their lives because of, in, and for the sake of Jesus Christ." Is that a powerful quote? I think it navigates the church-world relationship really well. You know, we're not necessarily there to be the biggest. We're not called to be Catholic in the sense of McDonald's where we're everywhere. That's not kind of the largeness that the gospel calls us to. The church was never more Catholic or never more grand when all its citizens could fit inside the tiny room at the upper room at Pentecost. It was never more Catholic. It was never more receptive. The church was large. It wasn't simply about numbers. So we're called to be present in the world in the midst as people with a particular conviction and a faith that shapes our behaviour and our compassion and our mercy. So Catholic media, I would then suggest, in planning for Catholic media, the idea is not to generate digital enclaves, but to dialogue in the name of the gospel in the midst of the media which already exists, just as much as I wouldn't advocate purely Catholic political parties, but Catholics within all political parties that were at the table of that civic discussion that we're embedded in the culture and not trying to claim it for ourselves or live parallel and isolated from it. So ultimately, our ability, I think, to evangelize the world, whether we're using social media or not, will reflect what is in us, that our capacity to evangelize online, there's nothing magic or enchanted about technology. It will reflect what is in us. And the Cistercian spiritual master, Thomas Merton, reminds us that a condition for meaningful relationship and genuine communion with other people is a spiritual identity of our own. And without our own inner dialogue with God, mass communication can only be a dull and disorienting roar. He writes, "How tragic it is that they who have nothing to express are continually expressing themselves, like nervous gunners, firing burst after burst of ammunition into the dark where there is no enemy. They chatter themselves to death, fearing life as if it were death." So to conclude, I think there's only one thing that Catholic communicators are called to express, and that's life and the spirit of Jesus who in revealing God reveals us to ourselves. And it's in his message and his life that bears upon every element of culture, including social media, and that's capable of making the world truly human and of our diverse work and our demanding work a meaningful mission. The task of communications is a great task, but it is wide as it's deep. if you're a professional engaged in Catholic communications in a diocese, employed or a volunteer, it's important that such leaders as yourselves make the case for such technologies within the church by explaining them and by defending them at times in a community that can grow slow. What's important, I think, in thinking about planning for your social media within your diocese parishes is to acknowledge, for example, today, who's not in the room. Which are your managers, which are bishops, which are vicar generals, which are curial staff. If they're not part of the conversation we're having at this conference, then they're not going to buy in. And often we think about leadership as being just a steady line. And leadership, in at least in my experience, is going forward and then doubling back to collect the rest of the group. Because if we don't do that, the leadership group is too far ahead of the rest of the body. And then we sit at a table and talk about budgets, and everyone looks at each other going, what is that guy talking about? Or what is that woman talking about? So we can be so cutting edge in our technology as leaders that we can be off the edge for others. And they don't get a sense of why technology matters. I think it's incumbent on any leader in the church, of course, all of us are on a journey to educate or school ourselves in the Catholic tradition. So any social media that you use is an interpretation of the world, and it's an interpretation of the gospel. So how do we appreciate the gospel through our experience and through our study? Do we know the tradition so we can pull on the vast resources and not be stuck only with a very small amount of resources that are available to us? We need to stand at the window of the world, and certainly there are people who are more qualified than myself to be at the cutting edge of what's the greatest technology out there that the church can use in contemporary media, and you can be burnt being a prophet, but I think social media commentators and bloggers are called to be prophets for the rest of us. That you will lead us into a new form of mission and bring the future into the present with the richness of the past. So that's all I had to offer. But thank you very much for having me in your home, and all the very best in your mission and ministry. Thank you.
That was Daniel Ang with The Heart of Evangelization, proclaiming the gospel in a digital world. For more information about CDMC, visit cdmcaustralia.com. And for more interviews, talks, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.